The Murders at Fleet House by Lucinda Riley. Read by Gemma Whelan.
Forward. Read by Harry Whittaker. Dear listener, I hope you're as excited as I am to be listening to a brand new Lucinda Riley novel. Perhaps you're an avid fan of the Seven Sisters series and are eagerly waiting for Lucinda to transport you to a new and vivid realm. Maybe, though, you're new to her writing, intrigued by the promise of this fresh and compelling crime novel. In this case, very sadly, I must start at the end to contextualise the pages you are about to devour. For those not aware, Lucinda, Mum, died on the 11th of June 2021 following an esophageal cancer diagnosis in 2017. I am Lucinda's eldest son and co-author, not of this project, I hasten to add. Together we created the Guardian Angel series for children, and I am tasked with fulfilling her enormous literary legacy by completing the eighth and final novel in the Seven Sisters series. For this reason, I wish to tell you how The Murders at Fleet House came to be. Firstly, although it has never seen the light of day, it was written in 2006. Once her youngest children had started school, Lucinda penned three novels without a publisher, two of which have subsequently been released to great acclaim: The Olive Tree, also called Helena's Secret, and The Butterfly Room. It was always her plan to publish the third of these novels, which you're currently listening to, after the conclusion of the Seven Sisters series. In the case of The Olive Tree and The Butterfly Room, Lucinda undertook extensive rewrites, as any author revisiting a project after a decade would wish to. Mum has not had that opportunity in the case of The Murders at Fleet House. As such, I faced a quandary when taking the decision to release this book. Was it my responsibility to edit, adapt, and update the text as she would have wished to? After much contemplation, I felt that preserving Mum's voice should take precedence. With this in mind, only the bare minimum editorial work has been undertaken. All that you will read, therefore, is Lucinda's work from 2006. Mum was hugely proud of this project. It's the only crime novel she ever wrote, but loyal readers will instantly recognise her unrivalled ability to capture a sense of place. I'm sure it will interest you to know that, at the time of writing, my family lived in the vast, mysterious landscape in which the story is set. What's more, the Norfolk school featured in the book was heavily inspired by the one which we, her own children, attended. Thankfully, I can confirm that nothing so dramatic actually took place in the corridors of the boarding houses. As you might expect, hidden secrets from the past strongly influence present-day events, and we're treated to some typically superb characterisation in the form of D.I. Jazz Hunter, who I'm sure you'll agree has the potential to anchor a series of her own. Perhaps she would have in another life.
Prologue. St. Stephen's School, Norfolk, January 2005. As the figure took the stairs leading to the sixth form corridor, a maze of shoebox-sized studies, one per boy, the only sounds were the clanking and stirring coming from the antiquated radiators, inefficient cast-iron sentinels that had struggled to warm Fleet House and the boys within it for the past 50 years. One of the eight boarding houses that made up St. Stephen's School, Fleet House had taken its name from the headmaster at the time it was built, 150 years ago. Known as Fleepit by its current inhabitants, the ugly red-brick Victorian building had been converted into student accommodation just after the war. It was also the last house to benefit from much-needed refurbishments. Within 6 months, the corridors, stairs, dormitories and common rooms would be stripped bare of the torn black linoleum that covered the floors. The yellowing walls would be repapered and freshened with magnolia, and the archaic shower blocks would be re-equipped with glistening stainless steel fitments and glossy white tiles. This, to appease today's demanding parents, who insisted their children live and learn in comfort akin to a hotel, not a hovel. Outside study number 7, the figure paused for a moment, listening. Being a Friday, the eight boys on this floor would have signed out and walked to the pub in the nearby market town of Faltsham. But it was as well to be sure. Hearing nothing, the figure turned the handle and went in. Closing the door quietly and switching on the light,